And again, bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often and we say it sincerely. It's just good, good to get together. So I appreciate that. There is an outline in the bulletin that's like to follow along with the lesson. So I know we have company with us this morning. So brethren, look around. If you see someone that does not have a bulletin or an outline, please share. Or there's a bulletin, extra bulletin still on the table in the foyer. So you're very welcome to follow along with the lesson this morning. There was quite a list of things that Rick read to us from Ephesians chapter 4. A lot of do's and don'ts. So I thought about that, and I thought, well, not taking from that list, but a list of my own. List of things that strengthen me. Well, we always need help every once in a while. Need to pull in some resources. The song said when we're living by faith, sometimes we get a little discouraged or out of sorts. And boy, I need something to help me to get along. So I can't give you a Christian pill. It doesn't exist. I don't have a so-called Christian power drink or a shot that can give you a boost. It's just not there, but there is a biblical prescription. I take these things from my own life that I want to share with you. You could add to the list, I know. But when you look through the list of things that help me, number one, God's Word. Second is prayer. Number three, I put thoughts of God. Number four is my fear of God. Number five is the love of God. And number six is knowing that others care about me. Number seven, you got to keep good company. And number eight, knowing I'm prepared to meet God. Keeps me steady. Keeps me on God's side. So you can add to this list, and then I thought about it just a moment ago. I thought, you know, attendance. Just a worship assembly strengthens me. Just being with you and with one another, friendship, fellowship, enjoying the camaraderie, the time that we spend together in worship and lifting up our voices in praise to God. Oh, that's encouraging. Encouraging. So let's take a look at each of these in turn, and I'll share with you my thoughts. And then, like I say, you can add your own. But number one is just, I'm strengthened by God's Word. Well, that's a given, isn't it? God's Word is abundant with admonitions that it be read and that it be taken to heart, be taken internally. In Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy Word, God's Word, have I hid in my heart. Now, take it to heart. That I might not sin against you. What? There's a help available to keep me on God's side when I take His Word to heart. In Psalm 119, verse 105, Your Word, He gives the illustration. It's a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. You ever tried to walk in the dark? Without any light at all. Well, we stumble, falter, stub our toe. Boy, we walk slowly. They're just cautiously. We need light. We need light. It makes walking easier. God's Word strengthens me. In Psalm 37, verse 31, it says, The law of His God, again, take it internally. It's in His heart. None of His steps shall slide. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, My little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin. What's going to keep us on God's side? God's Word. If I give you the illustration, I won't spend time on this one, but when Jesus was tempted by the devil, He met every temptation. It's written. It's written. So when we're faced with struggles or difficulties or hardships or temptations, oh, it's written. Knowledge of God's Word, so important, strengthens us, strengthens me. Number one, strengthens. Number two is prayer. Prayer. So I put in your notes, it's hard to do wrong when you're praying to do right. If that's my prayer when I assume that posture of bowing and closing my eyes and folding my hands, or I kneel down and I'm saying, God, I need you again today. I need you. So I have my talk with God, and that strengthens me. God, I've heard from you in your word. I want to talk to you. When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, they came to him and said, Jesus, teach us like John taught his disciples. And part of that prayer that Jesus taught them to say was, lead us not into temptation, or keep us from the evil one. Right? Part of my prayer. Help me. Help me. The Apostle Paul wrote that prayer was part of the Christian's armor. After he lists all the armor from head to toe, in Ephesians 6, verse 18, he says, and praying always with all prayer. Yeah. So I pray. I pray. It's a walk and a talk with God. I don't always stop and assume the position of closed eyes and bowed head and folded hands. Just thoughts come to me while I'm walking or sitting. Let's thank you, God. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, or chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So if there's a hardship, a struggle, me, help me. Help me. So I read God's word, and I talk with God. Strengthens. Number three, I'm strengthened by thoughts of God. The Hebrew writers in Hebrews 12, verse 3 says, consider him. That means give God some thought. You're going to consider something, ponder over it, chew on it, dwell on it. Consider him. Then he gives the illustration, who endured hostility against himself. And then he gives an added phrase at the end of the verse. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Are you weary? Consider him. Consider what he went through. Consider his struggles. He endured, it's right in the text. And so when I consider him, I'm not weary or discouraged. Because in his great commission, he says, I'm with you all the way. So then I, with my thoughts of God, I'm thinking, we're walking side by side. I have a companion. I have a helper in time of need. I think godly thoughts. That was what Jesus did in his ministry. In John 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what I want to do. That's the attitude of life that I want to have. So in my walk and talk with God, I'm thinking, God, what would you have me do? I come to God with the attitude of speak, your servant is listening. It's the attitude, God, if you command, I'm going to obey. It's the attitude that if you send, I'll go. I want to have God thoughts when I struggle, especially. It strengthens me. Number four, I'm strengthened by the fear of God. By definite fear, it needs to be in awe of God. To have respect for his position or respect for God's power or his ability. When I think about what God can do, yeah, it puts me in reverence of God. Proper fear. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. I'm not going to say, God, I can do it by myself. It says, the fear of the Lord will cause you to depart from evil. That's what I want. That's a goal of life, of Christian living. Strengthen me. God, when I think about you, I'm going to think right or correctly. Solomon said in Proverbs 16, verse 6, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Just knowing about God causes me to stay on God's side The more I think about God, it causes me to let other people know on whose side I belong. I fear God. The Hebrew writer said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yeah, fear. But then number five, the love of God. The love of God. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Oh, the love of God. Greater love has no man than this. This is the best. This is good. When Paul recalls the love of God and the love of Jesus, he said in Romans 5, beginning of verse 6, God demonstrated his own love toward us. He didn't just give a shout out down to us and say, "I love you, Brian," or "I love you, brethren." God demonstrated his own love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Change that and put your name in there. Christ died for Brian. The love of God. When you think about that, that strengthens us, strengthens me. The love of God. John 3:16, you know, God so loved the world, he gave, demonstrated his love. Isn't that what we want in our relationships? We don't want to just hear a shout of saying, "I love you." No, I want to show and tell. Show it. Number six is we're strengthened by others who care. There's a hymn that we used to sing. It's not in our book now. But the words of the song is titled, "I Would Be True." The song says, "I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care." There are those who care. That strengthens me. You think about the various relationships in your life. There are people that we don't want to disappoint. I don't want to disappoint my family. Don't want to disappoint my friends. Well, if I did this, what would mom and dad think? Or if I did this, what would my husband or wife think? My family. That strengthens us to stay on the right course. What would I do this for? What my friends think? Or what about someone recommended me for a task? I don't want to disappoint them when I have that task. Let me make sure I do it right. Do it correctly. I want to do right. Because people care about me. So when I think of God, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast your care on God because he cares for me. Cares for me. That's a resource of strength. Number seven, strengthened by good company. In Exodus 23, verse 2, it says, don't follow a multitude or a crowd to do evil. That opportunity will always be there. There'll seem like there will be a group or a larger group, there'll be a smaller group, but there's always going to be someone that says, let's go do this. It's not right. I want to keep good company. I don't want to have people around me that are going to encourage me to do wrong. I want to keep good company, those that will encourage me in prayer. I want people around me that will help me attend. I want people around that will help me and encourage me in Bible study or in prayer. Yeah, good company. So I put in those, I pray that our closest friends are those who will strengthen us to walk with God. You can have other friends. We always have that in life. Work associates. Neighbors. There's people we know. But I would hope our closest friends, those that we spend time with, are those that would encourage us. strengthen us in our walk with God. Number eight, strengthened by knowing that I'm prepared to meet God. Amos chapter 4, verse 12 says, Amos referring, giving God's message to his people. It says, God said, Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel. Because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God. Prepare. It means to get ready in advance. You know, coming to the building this morning, you got ready. You prepared. You know, you don't look the way you do now, the way you looked when you got up this morning. Some of you. But you made preparations to come. So in this situation, I'm strengthened by knowing that I've obeyed the gospel. I'm strengthened by knowing that I'm a Christian. That I've been blessed. I'm strengthened knowing that I have access to all spiritual blessings. That I have help from above. And you see, the list goes on. And I hope from these notes this morning that it gets you thinking along that line. I'm thinking of all those things that Paul lists in Ephesians chapter 1. The spiritual blessings. God, I'm on your side. You've given me your spirit. I have indwelling. Wow. If I was not prepared, I would tremble at the thought of knowing that I'm not prepared to meet God. I would tremble. Because of that thought, every time we assemble together for worship and a lesson is presented, we sing a song of, say, invitation or a song of encouragement. It's a song of exhortation. It's a time in our worship, time to think about their relationship with God. And in this situation, if you are not prepared, think about that. And think about, what do I need to do to get prepared? Things we've already mentioned, something we've already mentioned this morning. You need to hear the word of God. That was Jesus' commission, going to all the world. Don't leave anybody out. Preach the gospel to everybody, every creature. Preach it. Tell it. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? That's right. So we want the word of God to get out, and we want you to know this great love story that God so loved the world. We preach that. And then once that word is preached, then there's a second step, and that is you need to believe. Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, verse 24, except to believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want that. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith. Believe. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So I want to believe the message I hear. Then number three, I want to repent, to turn my life around, turn it toward God. I just want to hate the situation I'm in without God. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. And then next up, I want to confess my faith, that I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Because that's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus. And the Ethiopian interrupts Philip's sermon. Almost like, stop your sermon. Here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And so he makes a confession, a statement of faith or belief. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And Philip says, stop the chariot. You stop my sermon, I'm stopping the chariot right here. So they both go down into the water and Philip baptizes him. Comes up out of the water, the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. an opportunity for you to prepare to meet your God. That's all day.
So let's stand and sing the song that Vince has selected for us. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, we haven't done so already, you'd like to do this morning, we can assist you in that. Please come and have a seat beside me and let it be known.